for this time. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, that with your Holy Spirit, nothing is impossible that you call us to. We thank you, Lord, that even though we are weak and broken vessels, that when we surrender ourselves to you, you would choose to use us, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we offer you this time. We ask that you would speak to our hearts. Help us to listen carefully for the voice of your Spirit in this time that we have here today. We thank you. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Amen. I remember when I was a kid growing up in the Episcopal Church over in Chester, Vermont, there were several different candles on the altar there, but one of them represented the presence of the Holy Spirit. And it was the day of Pentecost, just like today. And the church had recently had a rather lengthy, heated discussion about the role and presence of the Holy Spirit and whether or not the Holy Spirit was still at work in our lives. And there were people in the church that didn't really think that that was the case. And the pastor did, and he was doing his best to try to open up the Word of God and help people understand. And do you know that the candle representing the Holy Spirit wouldn't light? No matter what they did, I will never forget it, because I was an acolyte and I was slightly horrified. And eventually they got this one little teeny tiny minuscule blue flame to stay lit on that, and you know, call it what you want, but I think it was an interesting object lesson. Fine, you don't want the Holy Spirit? No. The Holy Spirit, in a manner of speaking, is a gentleman. The Holy Spirit will never force himself upon people. It's not, when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, it's not like being involuntarily possessed. You know, all of your minds just probably went to Linda Blair and, you know, those kinds of movies, but being filled with the Holy Spirit is sort of the consummation of the presence of God in one's life. It's impossible for us as Christians to do what God has asked us to do and to live in community with God without the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. All throughout church history, the Holy Spirit has been misunderstood and resisted, and then there have been times when people opened up their hearts to the Holy Spirit, and amazing and wonderful things happened. Sometimes people are afraid of a loss of control. If I yield my life to the Holy Spirit, what's going to happen? Well, if we trust that the Holy Spirit is infinitely good, and from God the Father and the Son to us, maybe we could venture a little trust that even if we don't know where we might be led right away, that where we are going to be led is going to be good because God is the one leading us. Someone back in the time of the Great Awakening said, what the church needs today is not more machinery or better, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Spirit can use, men of prayer, men yielded to God's Spirit. And that's men in the universal sense. Ladies, that does not exclude you. And the Holy Spirit is not some 21st century phenomenon or even a first century phenomenon like we think about the Holy Spirit coming at Pentecost. He has been around since the beginning of everything. Right before the beginning, the Holy Spirit was there. Think about the creation of the world in Genesis. The Spirit of God hovered over the waters. Before anything was, God, by His Spirit, was. He was there at creation to God created in the heavens and the earth through Jesus by the Spirit. Wherever the Spirit of God is, He brings something new. In the Old Testament, there's all these accounts of people being filled with the Holy Spirit for a specific reason, for a specific time. You think about Samson, right? He was bound physically, but even when the Spirit of God came upon him, he was able to break free one last time. The Spirit of God coming on Elisha, that's a pretty cool story if you've never read it. I happen to have it here in 2 Kings. So Elijah has been God's prophet, and Elisha is about to succeed him as prophet. And these two guys are walking together, and Elijah knows it's almost his time to go. And he says to Elisha, "Ask what I shall do for you before I am taken from you." And Elisha says, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit upon me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Yet, if you see me as I am being taken from you, it shall be so. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven, and Elisha saw it, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. Then he took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him, and he struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water parted to one side and to the other, and Elisha went across. And so, I mean, what a wild thing. Like, you would expect to see that in some kind of Hollywood flick. Do you believe it actually happened? Do you believe it? Do you believe that the Holy Spirit works in that way? See, you can go into the Old Testament and read all kinds of different accounts where miraculous and amazing things happen because of the presence of the Holy Spirit. So now we fast forward to Acts chapter 2, day of Pentecost. And we see the Holy Spirit falling not just on one or two people selectively, as in the Old Testament, but on a whole mass of people. It's amazing. And it wasn't like one quantity of Spirit was, you know, cut up into littler pieces to give to all these people. It's the same Spirit of God that came on Elisha. It's the same Spirit that fell at Pentecost. And it's the same Spirit that we read in Acts as promised to us, for the promise is to you and to your children and to your children's children, as many as the Lord our God will call. That is you. So I'm telling you something a little wild today. And I, you know, sometimes my job as pastor is to push on your growing edges a little bit. And I would just like to say that the same Holy Spirit that fell on Elisha, the same Holy Spirit that fell on the people on the day of Pentecost, the same Holy Spirit that was present with all of the miracles that we see done in the early church is the one that is available to you sitting in Brownsville on this day, June 9th, 2019. What? I can hear the pastoral interview committee getting together now for the replacement. Jesus told his followers to go and wait in Jerusalem for empowerment from on high because he knew they would need the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in order to walk out what he had called them to. They could not do it without the Holy Spirit, and neither can we. Being filled with the Holy Spirit is not a figurative thing. We're not looking at symbolism here in Scripture. This is not some visual picture painted in our heads to teach us some ethereal truth about the character of God. This is the account of the Holy Spirit of God coming upon mankind as promised by Jesus falling on his church in power and doing in them things that were amazing, that would launch and propel the church forward into the world. And if that wasn't amazing enough, we're told that the promise is for us. One of the bishops in the Anglican Church is now an archbishop. He's over in Nigeria. His name is Ben Kwashi. And he walks much closer to the sort of miraculous things of the Holy Spirit than we seem to here in North America, for whatever reason. And he tells an account of Boko Haram, which is one of the militant Muslim groups over there, which has tried to kill him 3 different times. They've dragged him out of the street in front of his house, and they've slaughtered all of his animals and this and that. When it comes to actually killing him, he starts preaching, and they run away. I mean, I've met the man in person. It's an amazing account. One of the things that he talks about is that folks out there in the bush will go to witch doctors for healing first. And when that doesn't work, they might go to another religious organization out there. And when that doesn't work, under the cover of night, they will go and find a group of Christians, because they know that their God is alive and works miracles in people's lives. So these are people that, under threat of death, threat of losing everything they have, are going and finding Christians secretly at night because they know that there's something different. That something is the Holy Spirit at work. It's that Pentecost presence in their lives that when they pray, something really happens. It's the same Holy Spirit that is available to us. You know, life has challenges, I don't have to tell you. So, the way that we respond to them helps to identify who we are and whose we are. We lean into them because of the Lord's presence in our life. Walking the Christian walk is not easy. The things that God calls us to require faith sometimes. Or should I say, all the time. But don't let the challenges define you. Let God, by His Spirit, define you. The challenges and how we respond to them by the Spirit of God will define our course in life. God gave us the Spirit so that we can walk by the Spirit and live by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. I like this quote. Someone said, "If you believe in Jesus, you aren't to spend all your time in the calm water inside the harbor, full of joy, but always tied to the dock." You have to get out past the harbor into the great depths of God and begin to know things for yourself, to begin to have spiritual discernment, and to begin to be led by the Holy Spirit. Have you ever felt like God is asking you to step out into deeper waters? Have you ever felt like He's calling you into something more, but you weren't quite sure how to get there or what it was? I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you to pray and to ask God what new thing He is calling you into. We know from the scripture accounts in the Old and the New Testament that whenever the Holy Spirit comes and fills someone, something new and wonderful happens. So I want to invite you to search yourself, search your heart, pray, and ask God to work something new in you. It doesn't matter if you're 2 or 102. Pray for the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in your life personally and in the life of this community of faith. If we do that, if we ask for God's presence, we ask for His power in the Holy Spirit, He's faithful. He will come. So seek the Lord while He may be found. Ask for His Holy Spirit, and then hang on. Look with anticipation for how God will meet you personally and empower you completely for his purposes. Later on in the service, when we have a time of prayer, I'm going to invite us to pray together for the infilling and empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And we can do that as a congregation, and you can agree in your heart in prayer. But at the end of that time, I also want to invite, if anybody would like to receive personal prayer for that. I have some anointing oil here that's remained on the altar from another event earlier this week, but I would love the chance to pray for you. As a pastor, it is my heart's desire for everyone in this place to walk into the fullness of what God has asked of you and what God has called and equipped you to do. And I would just love to see that. You know, as a pastor, I pray for you, and I love giving communion to you because that's the Lord loving you through the sacrament. And I would love the chance to pray for you and with you about the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because I know that it will transform your life personally and our lives together as a church. In the name of Christ, amen. I want to invite you to stand and join the affirmation of faith on page 881 in your hymnal.